A few news items, really, before we go into the Bible study proper. The Herald Tribune on the aircraft going across, if you remember, there was this bomb over in Madrid, or in Spain generally. There were several bombs that went off in Spain, a coordinated attack that certainly looks as if it was Al-Qaeda or an Arab group. And what had in fact happened was that millions, about 8 million altogether, mourners just gathered on the street after the attack to show solidarity and support against the terrorists. And the Herald Tribune was in the plane, and you know, there were several of them, and I in fact brought one of them back with me. And here it says that the senior European intelligence and security officials in recent months had expressed increasing concerns that terrorists would target the still relatively open rail network of a region that depends heavily on passenger rail transport. In the aftermath of the terrorist bombing on Thursday in Madrid, European leaders and security officials were tightening security at trains and subway stations across the region, stepping up police patrols, bomb detection measures, and electronic surveillance. Passenger rail traffic in Europe is more than 12 times the level in the United States, according to European Union figures, and is only surpassed in passenger miles by China and Japan. So, you know, the rail network, even with the prices that we have, is still very, very high. France on Friday deployed nearly 500 soldiers on key transportation hubs to beef up local security, especially on the high-speed rail lines from Paris to Lyon and Marseille. French officials also placed restrictions on private aviation clubs and stepped up chlorination of water supply levels, all part of an elevated alert status ordered by the president, Jacques Chirac, a spokesman for the National Police said. And it goes on, it says, the French officials' concerns have been echoed by the head of British Counterintelligence Service, known as MI5, who has warned that Al-Qaeda has been seeking to stage a large-scale attack in Britain, where officials say air and rail transport is considered the most obvious target. We've been focused on the transport sector for some time, a Foreign Office official said. We've been aware that transport is threatened and that different groups have looked at it. So they are aware of that. It is interesting that when you go inside the paper, however, it was the analysis inside the paper that really caught my eye. It goes on inside about this particular attack. It said, in Madrid, Aznar marched as the head of the procession behind a long white banner alongside foreign officials, including Prime Minister Raffarin of France and Romano Prodi, the president of the European Union's executive arm. Prince Philippe, 36, and his sister Cristina, 38, were also at the forefront of the march, the first time in Spanish history that members of the royal family participated in a demonstration. So these, what actually happened in the aftermath from what happened in Madrid is more important and more significant. It's the way in which the public is reacting. Now, we saw this reaction, and I pointed it out several times, in the case of Lady Diana Spencer, or Princess of Wales. The reaction there was out of all proportion to the people didn't know this woman at all. All they'd seen of her was on the media. That's all that they'd actually witnessed. And yet from that media campaign, the outpouring of grief was enormous, out of all proportion to anything that is logical. It was a case that they had seen an image, they'd accepted that image, and the outpouring of grief was as a result of that. Now, inside the Herald Tribune, it said, amid the outrage, a chance for Europe to coalesce. And it says, I feel this is an attack on me as a European, said Timothy Garden Ash, a leading authority on the European Union and fellow of St. Anthony's College at Oxford University in Britain. But how many people around the continent feel that? Garton Ash said that the attack raised the question, in the most profound way, does Europe exist, he asked. In some sense it exists, but does it exist as a strong political community? 2.5 years ago, in the wake of the attacks of September the 11th, the United States unified around the rebuilding of downtown New York and the fight against terrorism. The next few weeks will tell whether Europe will manage a similar response. Messages of sympathy and vows of cooperation have been largely national until now. A group of European leaders gathered Friday evening in Madrid in a sign of solidarity, but there has not been a voice linking Spain's European partners, both on the technical level of political assistance and in the political sphere. Police assistance and in the political sphere. Valéry Giscard d'Estaing, the former president of France, said that this was because Europe cannot speak with a single voice until it has a single president. Now that is the, that's what's actually happening. If you've been listening to the news today and last night over here in Europe, there is an awful lot of talk about the constitution and the pushing through of that constitution, which I'll come on to. But it says that until it has a single president with whom the bloc, soon to be 450 million citizens, can identify. You know, you're looking at something almost twice the size of the United States. You know, it is a vast area of people and a vast area of technology, I suppose, as well. And it goes then into the rest of the article. But it is this fact that from something like this, when you have seen the reaction that took place with Lady Diana Spencer, Princess of Wales, you've seen the reaction that took place there, you've seen the reaction that took place here. 8 million Spaniards went to the streets. And all it needs is somebody to get up to say the right things. It's words that will actually sway these people. And I'll be talking about the use of the tongue in the Bible study today, because I think there's something that we need to really be aware of. But within the news analysis, we also need to be aware that it is the tongue, it is somebody who is going to get up and is going to speak the right things just at the right time, in a certain scenario such as this, that will pull Europe together. And every indication is within Scripture that something along those lines will take place. Turn over to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Now, you know, these Scriptures we've gone over and over and over in the past, but it's when something like this takes place. If you remember Hitler's rise to power, I mean, Hitler's rise to power was similar. He was able to bring Germany together and put Germany back to work with phenomenal inflation that they had at that time. And this National Socialism was able to actually give the country an enormous boost. He improved the road systems, and he was almost worshipped by the population. Something similar to that is going to take place again, as far as we can tell. In Revelation 13, verse 1, it said, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. Now, we can, you know, you can turn over to Revelation 17, and it talks about the waters being peoples, but, you know, you can look at that later on. Revelation 17, 15, if you want to put in your notes. Having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were the feet of the bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now we're looking at a continuation of the Babylonish system, you can tell from Daniel, going right the way through the Medo-Persian into the Grecian and across into Rome. And the Roman Empire as such, the resurrected Roman Empire, is what we're looking for at the moment. That is what makes these news headlines significant, because this system, this beast power, is an ancient one, and we're just waiting for it. It's a Gentile ancient kingdom that is going to arise, and it will in fact be the dominant system at the end time, not America and not Britain. Britain and America will be taken over by this power, and the indication is that it's almost done absent-mindedly. It's not just a case that there may well be people behind them. It seems to be a coalition between, it's certainly mentioned, that is against Israel. But the actual leader, this beast, the person who leads the beast power, that is also termed the beast, the political leader that we're looking for at the moment, he almost seems to do it absentmindedly, according to Isaiah 10. But he says, "And I saw one of his heads were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon that gave the power to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, 'Who is like to the beast, and who is able to make war with him?' And there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given to him to continue 42 months." That's 1,260 years. So we're looking at... let's have a look. Justinian, all the way through to Napoleon's defeat in 1814, sorry. "And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those that dwell in heaven." So here is this system. And when we come over to Revelation 17, we find the church system that then rides the beast. It rides the political system. So Revelation 17 verse 1, then came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying to me, "Come here, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." So here is this whore, which is a symbol of a church. A woman is a symbol of a church sitting on many waters. Down in verse 7 it says, "And the angel said to me, 'Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and ten horns.'" So it's tying back to the one we just read in Revelation 13. "The beast that you saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit," or out of the abyss, "and shall go into perdition. And those that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose name are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world." You know, we shouldn't necessarily wonder when we see these things occur within the news. We should realize what is actually going on, and this is what is so important. "And here is the mind that has wisdom," and that mind that has wisdom, that that understood this particular prophecy, was Mr. Herbert Armstrong, who understood what it's talking about. "The seven heads are seven mountains, or governments, on which the woman sits. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space." And at that particular time that this was revealed, this was the condition of the political system. Mr. Armstrong was looking for the one that was going to come and just be a short space. And we're still in that position now, but we can see the start of it within the European Union. Though the European Union as it is today is not going to be the final configuration. And it says, "The beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth," that's the eighth Babylonish system, "and he's of the seven and goes into position. And there's ten horns which you saw are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet." And that's what we're looking for at the moment. And what is quite significant is what's happening at the moment regarding the Constitution. Is they're saying that as it stands, Europe cannot function, because they've got, what is it, 20, is it 6 or 23? 25. 25, that's just coming in. And they cannot have 25 countries in the present constitution. It just won't work. So something is going to have to be done. And I would strongly recommend that we just watch and see whether, in fact, 10 groupings can come out, of which 10 people are over these groupings. It may be that there is a central core of which 10 kings are prominent. You know, how this will come about we don't know, but 10 kings are going to be prominent at that end time. But they are going to receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Now, it's not just this beast which is the political system. If you notice in Revelation 19 over the page, in verse 20, it says, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, and with which he deceived those that received the mark, and they were both cast alive into a lake of burning with brimstone." So it is a particular individual as well that will be heading up this political system, who will receive the power from the ten kings, who will be, if you like, 10 kings that will exist with that political system at that end time. And it says, these will make war. They'll give their power to the strength of the beast, verse 13, verse 14. They'll make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome him because them, because he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and those that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. And he said the waters that you saw were in fact multitudes and peoples and nations and tongues, and the 10 horns which you saw upon the beast, they shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate. So you can see quite clearly here that the final grouping will be 10 kings, and it will be a particular individual over them. If you turn over to Isaiah 10, the one who will in fact, if you like, be this beast, the leader of this beast power, from all we can tell from verse 5 in Isaiah 10, it is going to be an Assyrian, a German. Oh, Assyrian, notice the Assyrian, the rod of my anger and the staff of my, in their hand is my indignation. I'll send him against a hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him charge to take the spoil, take the prey, and to tread them down like mire in the streets. Howbeit, he does not mean so, neither does his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and to cut off nations, not a few. Now, when we look at what's going on at this present time in the news, there's been a bomb actually found on the French railways. A bomb apparently was found hidden, this is from 15th, which is whatever day that was, hidden beneath the main high-speed railway line from Paris to the Swiss center of Bâle yesterday. The device consisted of a plastic box about the size of a small paperback book and containing nitrate, fuel, a battery, 6 detonators, and a household timer. Now, again, whether that is true, I mean, how much of this stuff that you read is true, what exactly the bomb was, don't believe everything you read in the newspapers. However, something was found, because they had to say that something was found, because obviously people locally would know that there's all the bomb squad in there and everything else. But again, all of this news, you are fed what they will feed you, and that we've got to be aware that that is the case. In the 26th, which is yesterday, it said EU anti-terror czar to fight Al-Qaeda. It says European Union leaders agreed yesterday to rush forward a clutch of EU-wide surveillance measures and created an anti-terror czar in response to the Madrid bombings. The list of counter-terrorist measures pushed by Britain, France and Spain at the Union Summit in Brussels include plans to retain mobile telephone records, email and internet data indicating the time and address of all websites visited. So if you go to a particular website within the EU, that is going to be recorded wherever we go. So, you know, it is of interest that we are being watched. There's no question of that. We are being watched. All you've got to do is drive down any motorway and just notice the number of security cameras that we've got over here now. They are everywhere. From my home here, which is just a few miles on the main road down on the A40, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think there's 5 that I know of. But there's a security cameras, and then there's other cameras as you come through here as well. And these are linked up together with the records office over in Swansea, and they can immediately link up to know your license number, and they read the license numbers. They're also speed cameras as well. They can be deployed as speed cameras, but they're used ostensibly for drugs and that kind of thing. In reality, it's all part and parcel of this anti-terror measure. The list of counter-terror measures published by Britain, France and Spain include plans to retain mobile telephone records and so on. So all of this area comes in. So as a senior diplomat said that there was no question of creating a European Central Intelligence Agency or an unwieldy new bureaucracy in Brussels. We're talking about a technocrat who can bring together all the complex strands of the fight against terrorism, not some grand political figure seeking the headlines, he said. Well, as I said, don't believe all you read, but that is what they're saying at the moment. On the 13th, that was Wednesday, there's another in the Telegraph. It said the polls pave the way for talks on the EU superstate. Negotiations on a new constitution for the European Union were dramatically revived yesterday when Germany and Poland paved the way for agreement to be reached by the end of June. You know, this superstate, the constitution and the anti-terror measures are being pushed through because of what happened over in Madrid. And we're looking at, again, just some kind of trigger. You just need somebody to come to the fore. The 12-week deadline means arguments over plans to create a European superstate could dominate the campaign for European elections on June the 10th and land Tony Blair with a parliamentary battle to ratify the treaty in the run-up to the next election. It says, after the election of the socialist government in Spain earlier this month, which wants to make peace over the constitution, Poland was under mounting pressure to give ground in the negotiations to avoid isolation weeks before it joins the EU, along with 9 other countries. So, again, it's all part and parcel of what is taking place. In today's paper, this is, you know, right bang up today. It is interesting that there, again, on the radio this morning, it made fairly prominent news about this constitution. But in the paper itself, and the paper is pro-European, I would say to a large degree. But it says the rise of grammar schools defies Labour. That's a great big headline. 22-year-old Ollie Barkley, England's fourth choice by fly half, will step into the some kind of something to do with rugby. BBC chief faces row over Reith lecture, and those the entire paper, which is about what 2 feet tall and about a foot wide, is dominated by all of that. And down in the bottom, on the bottom section, a little headline which is about 2.5 inches high and about 1.5 inches wide, says Blair calls for quick EU fix. It says Tony Blair called yesterday for a deal on the European Constitution as soon as possible, in quotes. The Prime Minister attacked the Tories for peddling Eurosceptic myths. He said a constitutional overhaul was crucial to prevent the EU grinding to a halt. And Michael Howard, the Tory leader, accused Mr. Blair of listening to France and Germany, but ignoring the views of the British people. And then it goes on with an editorial comment on that. There's something on the inside. It says, speaking at a Brussels summit, Mr. Blair agreed, again, ruled out a referendum on the 263-page text, which creates a full-time EU president and foreign minister, doubles the power of the Euro MPs, and extends majority voting as the norm in EU business. It's a major, major change in the way the EU is going to be governed. It gives an enormous amount more power to the EU, and yet it's, you know, just seemingly to, it goes through without without almost a whisper. It says, in a newfound spirit of unity after the horrors of the Madrid bombing, the EU leaders agreed to relaunch the treaty talks with a deadline set for the end of June. So that bombing has actually made a great deal of difference to the timetable for pushing through this EU presidency. And again, as I said, you're looking at a beast or somebody who is going to have the power from 10 other kings of some description that will form this final alliance. Now, as I've said before, it could be that some kind of terrorist outrage on a scale that we have never seen ever could take place, particularly in America, which would effectively remove America from being the superpower that it is at the moment. Now, if America is removed from being a superpower, that would put the pressure on Europe to come together in a union which is dictatorial. And we've got to be aware of this. Now, you're not going to look at Europe being attacked in the same way, because otherwise you wouldn't have the power block that is going to exist at the end time. But you certainly are looking at America. Something is going to happen within America which will bring America down. It appears to be something very sudden. Now, yes, it could be global. It could be a global climate change, but that doesn't seem to be sudden enough. Terrorism certainly fits the bill, and as I've brought out before, we do need to be aware and be watching nuclear terrorism. Mr. Armstrong highlighted this. He mentioned it as a distinct possibility back in the 80s. It's something we must not, we must not say that that is definitely going to be the way it is. Well, let's just in Isaiah chapter 9, just notice what it says here. In Isaiah 9, it says verse 12, it says, "The Syrians before, the Philistines or the Palestinians behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth." Now, this is all in this context of Assyria, the rod of my anger, in chapter 10. So Assyria is going to be there as well, doing it. But the Palestinians and the Syrians are involved. And you've got to be aware that again, Psalm 83 makes a coalition between the Arabs and Assyria, the Germans. There's some kind of a coalition there. And it says, "For the people turn not to him that smites them, neither do they seek the Eternal of hosts." So not only do they not seek the Eternal of hosts, but they don't seek the one that smites them. Therefore, the Eternal will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. Whatever it is going to be very sudden. And it indicates that the head, tail, branch, and rush is going to be done. The ancient and honorable, he's the head. The prophet that teaches lies, he's the tail. So we're looking at the governing people, the governing peoples. "For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that led of them are destroyed." So we're looking at something very, very sudden that takes place. It appears as if the Syrian and Palestinians are involved. It's tied up with Assyria, with the Germans. But as it says over in chapter 10, it says verse 7, "Howbeit he does not mean so." And it says in verse 14, it says, "And my hand has found him in a nest, the riches of the people, and as one gathers eggs that are left, have I gathered." This is talking about Assyria now. "Of all the earth, and there was none that moved the wing or opened the mouth or even peeped." Whatever they're going to do, they're going to just walk in there. It's not some great huge battle that they've got to have. They'll already be in such a weakened state from something that they'll be able to just walk in there and take over. And it could well be that it comes in. The indication is that they actually go to the Assyrian. They go to King Jareb. So this also is over in Hosea. What we are seeing in Europe today is very, very significant. What we are seeing within Al-Qaeda is very significant. Now, it may be that it all dies away, and it may be that there's some kind of economic situation arises. My own personal view is that you're looking at economic, you're looking at climate change, you're looking at terrorism, and you're looking at all these things coming together at the same time, so that when it happens, whatever the trigger is, the whole lot just comes in at the same time, and the entire stability of the world is upset, and you have the Great Tribulation. So keep an eye on all these things, be aware that they are there, and make sure we keep on our knees, because our only strength at this particular time is God Himself. There is no other way. As you can go out into your, was it in Manitoba, or wherever they have all these, what's the state that does that? I can't remember what it is. Anyway, up there in the States, they have this particular state that they all, federal marshals don't go in, basically. So that's not going to save them. They might get through initially, but it's not going to save them in the longer term.